don't build a program until you've done partnerships at that place for at least 6 months. The ones that make the biggest stink about commissions typically are the ones that are not necessarily the best fit. If you build it, it doesn't mean they're going to come.
Welcome to Make Them Famous, the podcast about partner enablement.
The only podcast to uncover both how partner teams enable their partners
and how other department leaders enable their partner teams to achieve success.
All right. Welcome back to Make Them Famous. Hopefully you have enjoyed the last string of episodes. We had a number of good ones on partnerships go to market. This episode today is no exception. I'm bringing in Marco DePaulis to talk to us about everything from tech stack to efficient partner operations. And we're doing something very unique in this episode. We're actually going to be unveiling and providing you an actual template that you can use to run your partner marketing and partner shared success plans that was developed by Marco to help guide your program in the right direction and enable your partners. If you don't know Marco, Marco began his career working with top digital agencies before joining Privy as their partnerships lead. He's now been spearheading Ryder Commerce's partner program for about 2.5 years, which is a very long time for a partner manager in any position. And he uses little more than Google Docs, Sheets, and Salesforce. In this episode, Marco and I will dig through Marco's tech stack for managing Ryder Commerce's partner program, why he set it up the way he did, when and what solutions or processes make sense, why some typical partner tech stacks and routines never make sense, and we'll take you through his actual template for mutual partner success. This one is very actionable, and check out the resources in the notes below so you can start working on his template and integrating that to your partner operations. Again, we have to have sponsors for this podcast so we can continue to produce it. Your help to sign up for the free accounts at these sponsorship products does a lot for us. So please listen to what they are used for and how you can incorporate them in your partner operations, again, for free, and go and sign up. Thanks again. See you in a bit. So let's talk about two tools that you can use to effectively manage and draw revenue from partner operations for free if you choose. I'm showing here, this is the free reveal.co account, not reveal.com, reveal.co. You can log into your reveal.co account, connect your data sources, and start mapping accounts with partners again for free, which is wonderful. You want to drive business from partnerships. That's why we're all here. That's what we want to do. But it is very difficult to do a couple of things that you want to do with a partner. One of those things is getting referrals out of partnerships. Most partnerships never have a continual process of referral sending and receiving. Most partnerships are stale, up to sometimes 90%+ of your program's partners are stale. But products like Reveal allow us to dive into that data and say, where are we at? Who do you have that we also have in each stage of the pipeline? And let's create a system that pushes these deals further down our pipeline together. And one thing that's important about mapping accounts versus co-selling is you can map accounts to start the source of attribution between you and a new partner. I like to say you want to co-sell, but oftentimes the partnership won't get there, right? But that doesn't mean that you don't need to see here is where we are at as a partnership today, meaning we have 10 shared customers, the middle of the Venn diagram, if you are visualizing this, and I want to get to 20. Let's go do partner marketing. Let's go do some co-selling. Let's go create some additional pie together. And let's look back at this middle of the Venn diagram in a month and see if we have 12 or 15 or 20 and see if this stuff that we're doing together is actually working. That's Reveal, reveal.co. Go and create your free account today. Second thing you're going to need is a resource, a tool, a place to say, here is where we are doing partnerships and here's what's going on with our ecosystem. It's called Partner Hub. And again, it does have a free account. If you're a tech user listening, reach out to an agency like this one here that's a partner of yours to send you a request through their partner's area. We are at a point right now with Partner Hub where we have too many applications to get in. And because it's an ecosystem, it is a marketplace, it is where everyone meets and we actually suggest partners. We cannot just let the floodgates open and have a bunch of competing technology software in the marketplace. But if you are invited by your agency partner, you can jump right in. They just have to click the add button. Why would you get in Partner Hub? Let's talk about that. Like I mentioned, it is your central source of truth for what partners are in what stages, doing what activities now. It is also where you automate onboarding, where you trigger messages, where you push partners down a series of steps that they need to execute to get deeper in your program. Further, it is where you shop for partners that are also other users of Partner Hub. Further than that, it is where agencies, top digital agencies are who you would like to partner with. If you're a technology company, if you're an agency, you can find tech partners and digital agencies in here and you can reach out to them like this. Request partnership, they have your request, they will approve or deny. And then from there, you can create a task for the point of contact at this partner to book a call, or you can just jump into their calendar. You can assign an account manager. You can trigger automations by stage, by project, by type, and you can add them to your custom directory so you can showcase them on a subdomain of your choice. This one here has a lead capture form so you can generate leads for your program and leads for your partners. All of my partners are automatically shown and I can turn them on and off by enabling or disabling them from the partner directory. It is all managed in one place. Further, you have a broadcast system where you can activate partners and bring them closer to your program. And then all the PRM features that you quote unquote need. And that's what we talk about on this podcast, how to effectively run partner operations and how the best teams on the planet are doing partnerships. And I think you'll really enjoy these two tools to get the most out of your partners and maintain the best partner program that you can. So check out partnerhub.app. And then there's a few links to book demos. There's a few links to watch some videos and see how the product works. And we know you're going to love it. So jump in and we'll see you inside. Our listeners who don't know you and haven't seen you in our boot camps and other stuff, please introduce yourself and I'll go into a screen share here.
Yeah, man. Thank you for having me. Appreciate it. Name is Marco DePaulis, Director of E-commerce Partnerships at Rider, previously Whiplash. We were acquired about 2 years ago.
Yeah, killer. I think I met you somewhere down here, I think even deeper. Yeah, Privy. That's when you first started talking. And then just like most partner managers out there, you bounce around a little bit and companies close, partner programs stop, and you got to go find new and exciting stuff. But you've been at Whiplash for what is, in our business, a very long period of time, 2 years and 3 months. Correct.
One of my longer stints for sure. Yeah. It's been a little over 2 years now. That's, you know, again, including that acquisition time, I think before we were acquired, I was there 6 months, which, you know, in 21, that was just happening all over the place. Right. That was after just leaving, after the Privy Attentive acquisition. So I was able to stay at Privy for a couple of years. The Attentive acquisition happened, took a few months, and then I figured it was a good time to look for something new. I did a lot of MarTech, a lot of, you know, heavy e-com stuff for a few years there. Cause I was previously working at agencies. And so felt like a change of pace would have been nice.
This is great. I actually forgot that. I knew it when I first met you, that was noticed, right?
Yep.
Yeah. And then,
yeah, I worked at three agencies. That's where I got my career started. So, you know, it was more on the sales and marketing side. And this will probably play into our talk later. My first job was sales and marketing operations. And so it was all, I was basically like the Salesforce master of the agency. It was a good sized agency, 100 something people in Philadelphia. And so that's where, you know, my CRM chops were formed and started to focus a little bit more on direct sales and marketing, you know, after working there for a few years and taking a couple new roles. So the agency world is where I stumbled into partnerships, because when you're working in agencies, you are always basing your services around a couple core technologies that you guys are the experts on. And I just naturally, as someone who, you know, I just am a people person. I like to build relationships. I like to, you know, try and really empathize and understand and find bi-directionally valuable, you know, relationships, partnerships. Found myself, you know, befriending and really getting together a lot with the folks at those different technology platforms. They were not e-com platforms. They were more like, you know, hosted solutions for content management, you know, systems and some email systems and things like that back in the day. And then I ended up in a Shopify agency, and that's when everything really lit up for me. And, you know, that Shopify ecosystem is just so unique.
Yeah, it's super unique. And so, well, I'll tell you this. I mean, the ecosystems, if you look at it like from my from the old Jay McBain map perspective in partnerships, if you look at like your HubSpot, B2B, inbound or RevOps agencies, as far as the closeness and the focus of partnerships, that ecosystem from our experience is just like unbelievable. Kind of similar to Klaviyo, kind of has this where it's like you can build your power partnerships on top of Klaviyo. Same thing with HubSpot. When you get into e-commerce, the unique thing about e-commerce is where the B2B side, the HubSpot agencies, they'll have like five partners and they're super close. They go really deep with those five tech partners, agencies, different agency to agency, a different story. But when you get into e-commerce, I'll talk to agencies that have 35, 40, 100 partners. And a part of that is the e-commerce tech stack is each website has 50 tools on it, whereas it's a little different in like SaaS, B2B SaaS and stuff like that.
100%. Yeah. And that's all Shopify's, you know, doing, right? Like they created a platform that was intended to be very, let's say give you the tools you needed to run a business, and not have to worry about the back end and all the challenging technological aspects, but also give it a, you know, design and build whatever you want. We're going to give you a pretty clean slate and we're going to enable, you know, kind of like an iOS app experience so that you can go and drop whatever you want into it to make it, you know, unique and custom to your brand and really show off your brand. And so I, you know, just naturally the way, I don't know if Shopify intended it to be that way, but they created this infrastructure that was just perfect for all these little companies to just start, right? Creating these little apps and widgets for Shopify, just like how Apple has done with their, you know, the iOS App Store.
Yeah. And it's another unique thing is the product itself is the experience for the customer. Which lends itself perfectly to larger tech stacks. And I'm thinking about, you know, a SaaS company that has an agency doing the top of the funnel growth for their website that ends up being users of their product, a little bit different of a tech stack and a skill set and a partnerships experience. So this isn't part of our topic today, but I think for those of you listening, what you can glean from that is if you're in e-commerce, just be ready to be a part of a very large tech stack and be okay with that and work nicely with everybody. If you're a B2B player, you're going to be spending a lot of money and time trying to get to the category leadership level so that you can be a one of those five or six in that agency's core tech stack is the goal. Cool, man. Exactly. So let's get into today's conversation. So Marco and I was in Marco's session at Catalyst, the big partnership leaders event in Denver last month. That session was all about how Marco runs his partner program internally, how he set it up, why he set it up that way. He even had templates for joint success plans and how you score partners. Really cool stuff. And the way my brain works is like optimization. I was like, this is the coolest thing. I think teams everywhere need this information. And the way I can lend what we do internally to this is take his system and put it into Airtable, record a video of how you can set it up in Airtable, put it as a template in the Airtable universe. And I put out an article and that Airtable template. And then of course my subscribers were all like, I've never even thought about how you could actually run a program this efficiently before. And thank you. And, you know, and getting into it. And we're just like, well, let's just keep this ball rolling and do a podcast about it. So I want to start there, Marco, with let's talk through your current system today, your current tech stack, and then we'll go back and forth a little bit about why, of course,
and then we'll get into what teams can start doing in different scenarios.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. So I've seen quite a bit over the years. And in my last role, I came into a position where there was already a PRM in place. And what I learned pretty quickly, and, you know, look, this was, my sample of data here is this one PRM that I was using, but it's sort of best in class PRM. And it was not solving the challenges that we were, you know, hoping it would solve. And it wasn't necessarily saving us time or making the lives easier of our partner managers, right? Or the partners that we worked with. So when you are, you know, considering software in the partnerships world, there's definitely plenty of options out there. But the challenge that I've always found is that every program is run extremely different. Every business operates extremely different from a billing perspective, a subscription perspective, commissions, what have you. And partners are not all the same. You can't just assume that, you know, whether you have 20 partners or 200 or 2000, that you're going to have one system that enables all of them perfectly in the ways that they need to be enabled and educated and things like that. And so what we ended up finding was that, you know, this PRM was helping us with some things, but then making our lives harder in other areas. And we still kept, you know, coming up with these band-aid solutions of spreadsheets here, spreadsheets there, spreadsheets here, spreadsheets there, more work on the CRM, more work on the CRM, more work on the CRM, just to accommodate the way that this PRM worked and how we had to fit that and sort of backwards into our business, into our program. And after doing that for a few years, then I, you know, was coming into this role here in Whiplash, creating the first ever partner program. Never existed. Nobody even knew what partnerships was in the organization other than, you know, the lead that hired me. And so I had this opportunity to design this perfect tech stack, and I was really excited about it. And I demoed everything, you know, put together all my different ideas, put together budgets, this, that, the other thing. And it all came out where I was looking at spending, you know, close to six figures a year and managing all these different tools and technologies. And, you know, I had like an honest conversation with my lead and I had to with myself where I was like, okay, this may work really well for us and it may automate a bunch of stuff. How much time is that going to save and how valuable is that going to be to us and our partners? Or can I get by with a more simple and honest approach with our existing CRM, Salesforce, and a few different spreadsheets, and invest those dollars in resources to, you know, actually manage my partners, right? And actually run our program and do the things that I know a human can do and add a lot of value for our partners. And so that was a direction where I went ultimately. And so to answer your question, my partnerships tech stack is Salesforce, which we already had. We just customize it quite a bit. We use our folders in SharePoint or Google Drive, whatever is your source of truth for, you know, your files and things like that at the company. And then we just make a bunch of different spreadsheets and things like that to run and keep track of things. And then we have a project management system, like most companies have, just to keep things on track and obviously manage the projects and the tasks and the owners and all of that that you have going on. And so it's a pretty modest, you know, tech stack, in my opinion, but sometimes the basics, you just can't beat it. And it fits our partner program. It fits the business and the business model. And ultimately, right, like every partner out there, they're going to work in Google Drive or they're going to work off of Word and Excel. They're going to be able to work with you on these documents. But we found that that's a lot better and a lot easier and a path of much less resistance with our partners because we don't have to give them something else to log into and to go find documents and to go get trained on this and that. And we found internally and for our own, you know, needs, we are pros at all of those things already. And so we don't need to go and try and fit this other piece of technology into what we're trying to do. So that's my long-winded answer.
No, I love it. I love it. And this is not a selfish plug for Partner Hub because Marco and Ryder don't use Partner Hub. They don't need it. So this is just so you know how unbiased this recording is. We're not here to shoot a commercial. So Salesforce, Google Sheets, you do have a free Crossbeam account that you'll log into for partners mm-hmm. that you do want to go into a sales motion with and see if there's any data in there. The entire tech stack outside of Salesforce, but that's already purchased by the company, is more or less mm-hmm. free. And I think there's a couple important things that teams listening to this need to know. It's like while there is a time and a place for a certain technology, the mentality that mainly new partnership teams being built have, in my experience, and I want to, Marco, your opinion on this is, okay, well, there's an activity that we need to get accounted for. And accounted for, okay, well, account for means I need a source of record. Okay. And then I'm going to run into walls if I try to work with my sales team on this, or I need my own thing. And there's all of this inbox sales collateral and all these tools. As soon as I join a new company as a partner manager, you're going to get inundated with outreach from sales teams. And you just all of a sudden are just on this pathway that leads you to a bloated tech stack that you are going to run into walls and, you know, be hammering your head against your desk all day long, trying to get your team to use it, trying to get data moved over, trying to get it to work with other tools. Mm-hmm. And because unfortunately partnerships and partner teams and partner managers have a half-life of about, you know, 9 months to maybe 2 years, mm-hmm. that is all going to get ripped out. And what happens then that teams don't even think about is like, well, all that partner activity, the data, everything that you spent all that time putting into that tool is going to get lost or diluted. And the partners at the end of that, what you're doing to them is not only pulling out their source of contact, you know, you're replacing a partner manager, but you're making the new team who's going to set up a brand new tech stack have to go back to those same individuals or those same companies at least and try to re-onboard them into another system that they just didn't subscribe for. They didn't sign up for in the beginning. They want to work with your company and implement your solution. They do not want to have to log into all this different stuff and try to figure out every year and a half where to go to get stuff. And it just creates a system. So the question I think I have in this rant here is, Marco, what would your advice be to early partner managers when they're getting everything set up? What is the time frame? What do you tell your partner manager friends to do? Obviously, we have a free tech stack for them, but what's the advice? What's the mentality and the, like, you know, put your coaching hat on? What do you tell people when it comes to kind of setting up their program?
Yeah, so I think one comment on your last point is one of the biggest drivers that I always think about, right, is that it's not about me and it's not about what I'm trying to accomplish. It's about my partner, right? Because everything that we do is ultimately, you know, the first priority is how do we serve them? How do we help them? How do we add value to them? Because we know it's going to come back around. And so what I'm always suggesting people think about first is put yourself in their shoes. Do they need something else to log into? Do they need some other form to fill out? Will that be enjoyable for them? Will that be a hassle for them? Are you making a complicated lead submission process when, you know, what's going to be easiest for them? Is it going to be an email introduction or a Slack message? Or is it going to be going to this link you have to bookmark and going and filling out this form and doing all this stuff? And so that's how I try to approach it, is I want to take the responsibility for the data entering and the tracking, and I want to make it as easy as possible for anyone on the other side, because I know they already have a ton of stuff that they have to worry about in their roles and with their 20 other, 30 other partners that they're managing. So when I talk to folks that are building out a partnerships tech stack, is I tell them to be extremely empathetic and think about that side of it first, and tell them to look at what the company already has. You know, can you get by with some of that rather than, again, trying to fit a square piece of software into this round hole that is your partner program and the operations that you have? Because, you know, again, this is my own specific experience, but most of those systems, you know, they're not going to check every box for you. And they're just going to end up creating more workarounds. And you're going to end up where you started, which is you're going to spend 10 hours a week just, you know, doing other stuff, right, to track the data that you need to track when you could have just done it yourself in the systems that you have, right? So utilize that CRM as much as possible. When you're talking about enablement, you know, collateral and training and things like that, let's keep it simple. Like, let's just use Google Drive and Microsoft, you know, OneDrive folders and put the collateral in there and bookmark, you know, the link in your shared Slack channel, right? I like web pages more than I like PDFs. So let's just go put, you know, landing pages together with our partners that never go static, rather than trying to, you know, put PDFs in a PRM and get people to, you know, go through this like 5-step learning process. And let's just put what we need to on a website or in the, you know, the portal, the free portal, sorry, not portal, the free, what's it called? I'm missing it here. The partner program tiered.
Yeah, there's
directory. Thank you, directory.
LMS learning management system is typical.
Yeah, we don't need any of that stuff, right? So, you know, you can get like a free directory to slap on your site and put a bunch of information there. So just try and be scrappy and try and build out before you're going to do any software, build out what you need in your CRM, build out what you need in Google Drive and things like that, build some sheets, build some documents, build some web pages, keep it really, really simple and see if you can, you know, get to an end product that way. And is that going to be sufficient for you? Can you work with that? Can you run with that rather than, you know, spending 50K or whatever it is a year on this thing? Plus you're going to get dinged on transaction fees and they have escrow accounts and all this crap that make things really challenging and tricky from a billing perspective and like a tax perspective.
Oh, so much to unpack there. I want to talk about the rabbit holes. And this is the conversation that you're having internally right now. If you're listening to this podcast and you're actually taking some of this advice, you probably either are getting to that point where you have a 12-month commitment to something coming up and you need to figure out whether you're going to stick with it, or maybe you haven't committed to something, but you're getting inundated. You're in sales scenarios with these different companies. The number one largest rabbit hole to a partner program is around automation, specifically around partner payouts and commissions. I know Ryder, I don't know Ryder, but I believe you guys pay your partners for deals. Yes or no?
We offer it. I would say that 75% of our partners, if not more, just don't opt in.
No, okay. So this is a perfect scenario. So,
and we do not opt in for it as well from our side. We don't want any other incentives or anything like that.
This is okay. And this is one of those controversial things. It's hit or miss. It's either you're dealing with a team and a founder and, I call it, you know, the far left. The far left is, you know what? Let's be flexible. And, you know, if we get into a situation where they need some money, we'll throw some money at them. Let's make this a simple program. Let's give them tons of value everywhere else, but let's not create that financial binding contractual this around a small commission payment that they honestly don't even deem valuable in the first place. Or the far right is, no, we're going to have affiliates and we're going to have a system to automate the payouts. And in that world, we're going to need a PRM or an affiliate management software. And you go down this rabbit hole. You, and as the partner manager, may have come from a program where affiliate stuff was a big part of that program. And in e-commerce, it is more, I'd say more, not popular is the right word, but more abundant. It's just like affiliate stuff, the word. And the reason is because e-commerce brands will use affiliates to go to market. They'll use affiliates that are influencer marketers. They'll use YouTubers, bloggers, and they use these affiliates campaigns, which in turn have a lot of clicks and a lot of tracking and a lot of automation underneath because that's the business. But when you're dealing with B2B partnerships, your partner is not in the business of partnering typically, right? Especially if you're talking to a solutions partner. You're talking to somebody that's dealing with client services all day long. They're not dealing with partnerships. They have them, but their business is not partnerships. So the rabbit hole, if you go back to this, is whether or not you pay commission. So let's talk about this. I'm showing on screen, if you're watching this, if you're just listening, I'm showing a friend of ours, Jeremy Promer at No Commerce. He does not pay commissions. They made a decision early on not to pay commissions. He has a great blog or a great post on LinkedIn about why he doesn't pay commissions. And I took a screenshot of it. I think it's really important for founders and teams just to at least consider the two worlds. But Marco, what your experience with really heavy commission focused partner programs, I think you are. And then obviously you were an agency and now you're in kind of more on the left, where if I bring you an enterprise deal and I know how much you're going to make from it and I need to take my team to Hawaii, I'm going to be like, dude, give me $5,000. I know you're making $200,000 off this. Give me $5,000. And you're going to be like, sure, I'll get that approved. And you're going to send me a Tipalti bill, or you're going to send me something, you know, and you'll be cool with that. But you don't have like commission as a line item and everybody onboards into the affiliate program and gets a link and all that sort of stuff. So talk to me about that.
Yeah. So I've seen it all, man. And I'll summarize it in one way, where the most, I would say, commission focused partners, usually I would say, are the least valuable partners I've worked with in the past. And that may be a little bit of a trigger statement, but that's just my experience, where, you know, we have an agency come in and they're trying to negotiate for bigger commissions and they're telling us how phenomenal they're going to be and all these customers they have and all the leads they're going to bring. And then you go through, you know, with finance, yada, 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 you get it approved. And then all of a sudden they just have that one whale and then you never see them again. Right. And then you're paying perpetual 30% on that rather than your standard 20. And, you know, you shot yourself in the foot. I've seen that time and time and time again. The ones that make the biggest stink about commissions typically are the ones that are not necessarily the best fit. However, to your point, not every partnership is the same. And so in my current role, we have other types of partnerships where they're not necessarily, you know, they're not an integration partner, they're not a strategic partner. Maybe it's somebody that's actually kind of a competitor, but we just play in a slightly different market, right? We play a little bit more enterprise, they play a little bit more, you know, SMB to mid-market, but hey, they have someone in their, you know, in their pipeline that just came in and it's too big. It's too big for them. But what are they going to do? Are they going to tell them to kick rocks and they know they're going to end up at a competitor anyway? Or are they going to maybe make a friendly referral and say, hey, look, I'll give this to you. It's a whale, you know, just give me 5%. And in that scenario, that is fair. That makes sense, right? Like that's saving us quite a bit on the lead acquisition costs. It's serving a warm lead up. And I can't add value to them in other ways, right? With a strategic partner, integration partner, we can work together to drive a lot of value for each other. We can influence deals, we can co-sell, we can back channel, we can do co-marketing, we can do all these other things. But it, with a provider that's, you know, maybe slightly competitive or something, or, you know, a consultant where his only the living that he makes is off of, you know, doing some sort of matchmaking stuff, that's their business model. I think that commissions and things like that are fine to have, right? To have it available. So, you know, in sum, here's how I approach it in my current role. We have commissions as an option that someone can opt into. If they want to opt into it, here's the structure. Here's how it works. We do a flat rate commission payout based on the size of the deal. We don't do any percentage crap that way. We don't have to go and reconcile numbers. We don't have to go, you know, run a bunch of numbers to see what was the profit or what was this, what was that, and do some calculating on it. We just have flat numbers based on the deal size. And if it, you know, hits one of those tiers, boom, and you opt into that, I'm going to give you an addendum to, you know, the standard partner contract that we have. We'll slap that on. You're set up for commissions now. I go and check that box in the CRM that you're a partner that does take commissions, because we run reports on that. And then boom, you're in the program. And I've designed it in a way where it's okay. We're okay to eat that, eat that cost for the acquisition. But again, I'm just going to come back to saying that the ones that don't sign up for commissions in my current program and in my experience, the ones who do not prioritize commissions, those are typically the partners that are in it for the long haul. They're in it for the joint value. They're in it to, you know, help their customers and for us to help our customers. And those are the strongest and best partnerships.
I love it. I love it. And if you're listening to this and you're of the, you're in the ballpark of high frequency, lots of downloads, lots of users, low cost for your product, the word affiliate plus marketing may be a strategy that you and the team decide to go down.
Yep.
But again, we're not talking about affiliate marketing on this podcast at all. What we're talking about is running a partner program. And the difference is the affiliates is a marketing agenda that you deploy across lots of channels and enable people that are in the business of making money off of pushing product. You give them a tracked link and it's managed under an affiliate marketing budget and program that is owned and operated by your marketing team,
right?
In my opinion. And the other aspect of this is just be honest with yourself about your product and what your partners are going to be needing out of not only your product, but also your program and the potential success. And the reason I say that is because too many teams are very egotistical about their product in the sense that they think they're going to roll out a program and all of their users are just going to be sending business in and they're not going to need to really work closely with them. They're just going to, the product is going to do all the heavy lifting. And in that world, they think automation, they think all that. And it's, they think affiliate payments and commissions, and then their head goes into, how am I going to track this? It's going to be a nightmare. Mm-hmm. And then they go shopping for software and they end up buying a 12-month contract with some huge piece of software that they don't need now. And honestly, I'll talk to them 12 months later and they don't need it 12 months later and they'll be backpedaling. Yep. And creating that system of again, just pissing off partners and annoying partners, which tarnishes the brand and you as a partner manager as well. When you go to your next gig, which you probably will, you're going to call up that partner and they're going to see you as just a big annoying hole in their day, just pulling them to another portal. Oh my God. Anyways, I do want to talk about.
And they lost all that own time, all of their own time, right? Just trying to do that, trying to manage it, trying to build it, and trying to enable all that stuff. And then at the end of the day, you end up, back at square one.
Yep. And I'll show you something really fun. We can talk about this together. This is the kind of stuff that I get. So I get this partner program, partner portal, PRM requirements from a new partnership team. With cool software that could, they could have great user traction and be really, really, exciting and have all this gas, and then their partner team comes in and they want to, be the center of attention, just like the marketing team and the product team was, and they go into it with this. And if you're listening, and not watching, I'm showing like a 17 page document that has a grid and it has all of the features that they need. From tier management to CRM sync to automated this and automated that and training and all the stuff and a lot of mandatories and required as a part of like what this team needs. And if you have something like this and you feel, you're in a similar boat of just like feature. Yes, I need that, quote unquote. You're going to end up with a very big piece of software. And then it comes down to, okay, well, now you have a number on your head for how much you are costing the company, not just your salary, which you know, partner managers make a good living typically. But now you're adding bills to the CRO's inbox and they're just seeing bigger and bigger number signs coming out of your, coming off your plate. And then it creates a lot of pressure. Not only that, but like we're mentioning it creates a very bloated system that you're trying to rely on another human being. They're all humans at the end of the day to get involved in that isn't their business and to be involved in.
Totally.
And it's tough for these teams.
But we do this have really reminds me of something I've said to a lot of folks too, maybe to come back to one of your earlier questions, Alex, is like what advice do you give even before we talk partner tech? One of my biggest piece of advice for folks that are new in a partner role or new to partnerships, building a new program, whatever it is, don't build a program until you've done partnerships at that place for at least 6 months, right? Because what you think is going to happen, what you're trying to design, usually is designed and built in a vacuum, and it actually has no, you know, it's not battle tested. It's not tested with actual partners. It's not tested with any real relationships or any scenarios where you have important data to really make a decision like that. And so it's the same thing with partner tech, is that I feel like I see a lot of that stuff. And that to me just says you're going to lock yourself into the way that you're doing partnerships today and make it really hard for yourself to continue to evolve your program and evolve your tiers and evolve that, you know, the way that you work with your partners and support them and enable them and collaborate with them. Because now you have this super rigid piece of software that was designed for your partner program at one point in time. But that doesn't mean that that's how you're going to continue to do it. And so you're really just making things hard for yourself to continue to evolve and stay competitive and stay relevant.
Yeah. Keep it simple, stupid is the acronym. So we do have an answer for you, and I want to talk about your system. We got another 5 minutes here. Let's go through it. If Marco, you're giving this away, right, as a Google template, as a Google Sheet template. So if you're listening to this, find Marco on LinkedIn, and I'll put his links in the notes here, and reach out to him about his template. What we have done is actually took his template and formatted it for Airtable. So if you like Airtable, the difference here is if you do use Airtable, you do get automations. It's maybe a $20 account that you may need. Maybe you can do it for free. I'm not 100% sure. But when you put it into Airtable, you get a bunch of automations and you get some cool ways to set it up. Like you have a Kanban view and you can have an interface that shows your leadership team what they need to know about the numbers. But talk to us about this real quick. So it's a mutual success plan that you guys use internally to do a number of things. But what does it do for you guys internally? Why did you set it up? What is it for you guys?
Yeah. So something that I've noticed after I used to do sales. And when you work direct sales, a very common strategy is to put together a mutual success plan or a go forward plan, which basically says, okay, your goal is to, you know, have this thing done by a date. And then you backtrack and say, okay, this is going to, how long it's going to take us to build it. And this is how long it typically takes to go through the sales process. So this is when you need to make a decision. This is when we need to start. This is when we're going to end. This is when we're going to have testing and go live. But in partnerships, I didn't really have anything like that helped me map, okay, we're going to partner together. Here are the things we need to do to ensure a successful partnership, to, you know, create and to put in line the foundational pieces we know, build a strong partnership in our experience. And so we wanted to put something together, and I kept looking around, there was nothing. And so I kind of crowdsourced something with a bunch of folks from partnership leaders. And I said, hey, I'm starting a mutual success plan. I'm trying to build this very all-encompassing template so that people can just make a copy of it and customize it for their own, you know, partner life cycle. And so that's what we did. So we made a really, really big sheet that is really great for strategic partnerships, which is just, you know, sort of more of a co-marketing referral type of partnership, and then integration partnerships, which has all the additional stuff for, you know, sandbox environments and demos and testing and building an integration, all that good stuff. And we use that as a team. So we've made our own version of that big master sheet that is available through the partnership leaders, Google Drive, you know, directory. And we have kind of a 3-stage life cycle to our partnerships, where stage one is kind of that, you know, qualification and onboarding phase, where we're, you know, really trying to understand, do we align? Do we have a strong value proposition? You know, do we have stakeholder buy-in, executive buy-in? You know, is there mutual commitment to a partnership? And then talking about those onboarding things. And then we look at the next phase, which is, okay, here is what we believe we need to do to be successful as, you know, partners once we're onboarded. It's, you know, getting these people together, setting up, you know, the Slack channels, the ongoing meetings, this, that, starting to do account mapping, what have you. So that's what we use to manage our relationships with partners. And it's something we review with the partner on a monthly basis and make sure that we're all keeping up with our tasks. It is, you know, something that it's shareable, right? So it's interactive. We do it with our partner and we ask them to say, hey, look, are we missing anything that you guys like to do? And let's add a couple rows in here for the activities that you guys do that maybe we don't, and make sure that it's, you know, serving both of us. And that's just, again, like one of those very simple things where you can accomplish it in a spreadsheet. You share it with each other and it's a little template and you just keep using that for all your different partners and you continue to iterate on that template as you guys evolve your, you know, your partnership program. Simple.
Easy, easy peasy. Yeah. And again, we have links to this in the notes below. So look down for some of these resources and reach out to Marco if you need help getting your system structured. And while Marco was presenting at Catalyst, someone had some of the same pain points. They came up to me after his presentation and, you know, I had some questions that kind of struck some chords, so to speak, with this person. And yeah, they're in the situation where they built out this just crazy program, and just like software, building software in general, it's like, if you make it super complex, no one will end up using what you need them to use in the system itself, like software or tech stacks in general. It's like the more complex it is, the harder it is to get it into somebody's workflow, into someone's daily routine. So keeping them in a system where they're already there, Google Docs, everyone's already there. If you guys are using Airtable for some other stuff, you can use it in Airtable. Same thing with Notion. You're like, figure out what your team uses now, fit your operation into that, at least for, you know, the start of your program, if not forever. And then when you're talking about scale, which is a tough word these days, I don't think any partner programs are going to be scaling in the future to the extent that your Microsofts and your HubSpots and Salesforces did. Few of you maybe, but most of you won't. If you're in the world of, okay, well, maybe 1,000, talk about that, maybe 2,000, you're in that world, then it's okay. Well, you know, maybe we need custom aspects of our CRM. Maybe we do need an area to put them internally for reporting because it's such a profitable program. We can report on it here. But I think the main advice is, you know, start with the absolute necessity of internal operations and fitting it into the tech stack that your team is already using, and obviously low budget for your own sake as a partner manager, and run it as long as you possibly can until you start hitting those walls that may require a point solution or or a PRM of some sort. Did we hit on everything we planned to? I think so.
I think so, man. Yeah, I think so. And you know, to that last point, it's how do you know you're going to really get value out of a piece of software like that if you haven't exhausted everything, you know, in a more manual, you know, a manual process, right? So like anything, you know, if you build it, it doesn't mean they're going to come. So, you know, get scrappy and stay lean. That way, you know, especially in this economic environment, you're not making your life any harder, right? You're not getting any more attention and focus on you as a cost to the business, and prove out as much as you possibly can and use what's there. And then from there, you'll know whether you need to add on any other point solutions to your point, but don't get caught in the, okay, we're going to build this from scratch and I'm a new person, I'm going to go get all the things, because 9 times out of 10, it's not going to work out for you long-term.
Yeah.
In my experience.
I'd also try to stress that if it doesn't have a free tier, at least don't migrate the data to it, because that this is a situation where, yeah, you know, tier up and use some features that you may need. But if you're in a scenario where every 12 months you're going to have that terrible stress of like, do I rip it out and how much work is it going to be? And I don't use it. I know that, but they've got me by the balls more or less, you know, so and a situation like that. So yeah, look piecemeal, you know, look for stuff that's free, look for stuff that you can you know, pass off to the next team and no one would argue with you about it, I think is a good rule of thumb, and keep it simple. Very cool, Marco. This has been awesome, man. You gave us a ton of value. The template itself is enormously valuable. So hopefully people can access that. And yeah, use it to keep a good sense of the health of your program. Make sure teammates are doing what they need to do and the partners getting pushed down the road effectively without annoying the partner and doing it in a way that you can continue for free forever. Thank you, Marco. And we'll see you online, man.
Thanks for having me, Alex. Appreciate it, man.